You got a red light? All right, we're live. Welcome to SecurityGuyTV.com, SecurityGuyRadio.com in Las Vegas, Caesars Palace at Infuse 2017.
That's right.
Sponsored by Guidance.
That's right.
What's your name, sir?
My name is Oscar Novando. I work with Lennar Corporation in Miami, Florida.
And what do they do?
They're a home builder, but since such a large corporation, we have our own in-house forensic and e-discovery team.
Oh, interesting. That's very interesting.
Right.
In home building?
Yes.
Now, what would somebody need forensics on computers for in that business?
Well, there's always something, especially now with the cybersecurity being at the forefront.
Right.
We tend to be involved. Many of the incidents require some forensic investigation. So we usually do get involved with the security team.
That's fascinating. I came from... I was a cop and came from Fox and Disney. And, of course, we were doing forensic stuff in 1996, right, when it first started.
Right.
And I never would have thought of that industry as needing that, but it does make sense the way you frame it. So right. What kind of cases do you guys get? Is it mostly internal employee stuff you're looking at?
Well, usually that's our main goal,
right,
is to protect the integrity of the data within the company. But in occasions, we do receive attacks from outside. And when that happens, we need to start investigations and see where does it lead.
So how long have you been using NCASE?
For 3 years.
Okay. Yeah, it's been around a long time.
Yep.
They kind of came up with they're innovators in this space, and it's really
a
good product. And how long has your company been in business?
Lennar has been around for, I would say, close to 40 years.
I thought so. Yeah, it's an old established company. Now, what kind of threats do you guys get as far as attacks? Are people trying to hack your network? Are they trying to get proprietary information about, building, how you build stuff? Or
well, they usually do the most common method, which is email, click on attachment.
The old Fisher.
Right,
spot, yeah.
The phishing attacks. We were getting, I would say, close to 1,000 hits on a day. At the beginning, but the more we were exposing ourselves through websites and different systems, that number has increased dramatically. So now we have our own security team, and the department, my department itself is within the security team, so we do assist them in the complete overall process of incident response.
That's fascinating. So a lot of people tell me that there's zero unemployment in what you do. In that sector, right? The IT people, forensic people. And there's about a million person shortage of people that they need a million more people, they don't have them. When you recruit for somebody in your division and bring a new person in or something, you find it hard to staff?
Actually, it is. It's extremely hard because they're always receiving better offers somewhere else.
That's what happens, right? They leave,
There is a high demand for a forensics or e-discovery or a cybersecurity person, and to get the right qualified person in the corporation sometimes is very difficult.
So I was talking to a friend of mine from Disney who's here, and I used to work with her back in the day, and she said she's a little worried because you got all these kids coming out of college, got all these forensic degrees and all these computing degrees and stuff, and they're 21 years old, and I said, you got nothing to worry about.
No.
They don't know jack. Right, they might have the technical thing, and they might have the training and all that kind of stuff, but they don't have the investigator background. And her background as an investigator at Disney back in the day when I worked with her, she worked in my department. It was the old-fashioned boots on the ground, look stuff up, find people, and it was a people business, right?
Right.
How do you handle investigations as a cyber investigator that differentiates from the old-fashioned detective, which was more of a physical space? But when I say investigation, it's a term of art.
Right.
You can put up a bunch of ones and zeros and say, look, Chuck, I just found this. And what does that tell me, right? Talk to me about the new investigator. What does that new investigator look like?
Well, I think you just have to learn how to dig deeper. Sometimes what you see on the surface is not really the cause of the issue or where the actual threat is coming from. You have to actually look and have that instinct of looking deeper, looking for more answers, looking for the right answers, because you might get an answer, but that doesn't mean it's the correct one.
Right.
So you have to learn how to differentiate from decoys with the real thing. And it requires a team. And that's what at Lennar we do have. We have a team of security engineers and security architectures that help us in the process of identifying where to look for them, or what to be on the lookout for. They get the information from different different programs such as Splunk, Silence,
yeah,
and compiling all that information together and being able to use Enqase as a part of the forensic investigation tool. It helps out and to have a clear definition of where the source of the problem is, where our vulnerabilities are located at, and how can we go ahead and patch them as quickly as possible to prevent a mass leakage of data.
So I did forensics when Microsoft Disk Editor was still around, and you could look in the sector and find bits of a Word document or bits of this, and, you know, it was effective, slow, but, you know, you could find some stuff that was erased or whatever you want to do. So I just played with it because I had a computer since 1984, and I get that part of it.
Right.
But I always looked at things on a computer as a person doing them, and I'm curious to know, as an IT person, I assume you weren't in law enforcement, right?
No, I haven't been in law enforcement.
So I'm curious to know, from a person that was not in law enforcement, that is an investigator, do you look at these attacks as a person doing it or a computer doing it? Because I think it's a different way to look at it. I assign intent and mission to people that are hackers, and I say, what is that guy up to?
Well, I think that's
was that clear what I'm trying to say?
Right, yeah. Right. And I think we have to look at it. At least I look at it from the standpoint of who, not what.
You are thinking of a person, though.
Right.
I mean, it could be a GoBot.
Right.
But the person still had to program the GoBot.
Yeah, somebody programmed that GoBot. So we have to. We always look at the person. At least that's how I looked at
it. Okay.
And try to understand what the person is trying to achieve. And once you start getting into that mindset, then you tend to think more like them and try to think a step ahead of what's coming up next, as opposed to if it's a machine, it's more predictable on a behavior, but
makes sense, a
human is more unpredictable.
That's right.
So you have to think, put that those unpredictable stances that a human being could have,
right?
That quick shift that a person could have, as opposed to a machine. A machine does algorithms. It goes one after the other after the other. If that doesn't work, it does this. A human being sometimes doesn't do that.
Well, until Skynet goes live. And then we're all in trouble. It's going to happen. I had a guy tell me it's going to be about 10 or 50 more years, and the internet's going to be self-aware, and then I'll move into my compound in the desert.
Well, at that moment, then you'll see me somewhere in the mountains of North Carolina hiding in there.
Now, do you work with the physical security part of your company, physical department?
Yeah.
Physical security.
Physical security is part also of the enterprise security offices where I work at. And it is... The enterprise security office is a fairly new concept in our company.
Okay.
It just has, I would say, 3 years.
All right.
As long as we have implemented Enqase. And the physical security portion of it has been an ongoing process. Hiring the right physical security person is been a challenge, and we finally got somebody.
I'm available, just in case you want to know about that. Here's why I ask. I worked at the studios where we had the IT guys and the physical guys. I happen to walk in both worlds because I know a lot about the IT part, right?
Right.
Well, what the IT guys always told me was, you know what? I don't understand how you know what that guy was up to or what your intuition is. I said, well, that's just a cop investigator thing. It's the people component, right? I'm a little concerned that as we get further and further along, we're going to find that the people component is disregarded, is not important, and we can solve it all on the digital side. And I'm here to tell you that's not true. It's a very hard belief of mine in a practice, right? Because the physical guy can help you prosecute that guy.
Right.
He knows how to get that guy into court. He knows what the law is, where the IT guys tend to be, here's the data. Now what are you going to do with it? Well, we're going to tell him to stop. Don't do that anymore. That's not how it works. You got to prosecute that guy if you can, right?
No, you're absolutely right.
That's why I was asking if maybe if your physical guy, you know, works with you on that prosecution side of it.
As it is right now, like I said, since it's a new position that it has just been filled, I haven't had a chance to get to know him. He's literally been there only 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
So it is a position that we've been waiting to fill, and finally we have. And to your point, yes, there is a misconception of IT. Of once, okay, we have the data, so here it is. and we just give it to management and let them figure it out.
Right.
But there is a physical security component to it, which is the human portion of it, which is that, what do we do with this person? Do we prosecute them? What do we do? I mean, do we take them to court?
A lot of companies don't want to.
Right, because it looks bad on the company and et cetera.
I get that part. I just, you know, being in law enforcement and arresting people, the best way to prevent future behavior is to arrest, interrupt. And a lot of people catch on and say, I don't want to get arrested again.
Indeed.
You know, kind of catch on. But, you know, it can go either way. But it's all new. This is all new stuff. And then the problem is the courts don't necessarily understand it. You get in front of a judge and he says, a DOS, a distributed denial of service attack, what the heck's that? That's not a crime, and let the guy go. I mean, you know, they can make bad judgments on the law because they don't understand the technology.
Correct.
Right? So that's another type of challenge.
So, yeah, we will definitely talk with him, with this new individual that we'd hire, and see what can he suggest to make the whole enterprise security office a whole, a complete part, not a portion of it.
So your company's been around a long time, and this enterprise has been in place about 3 years now, you say?
Yes.
And what do they do before, if you know?
Well, I've been with the company for 10 years.
Oh, so you know then, okay.
Yeah, so before that, they were using different systems. They were using AS400 systems. So
AS400?
Yes.
Well, that was good back in the day.
Yeah, so they felt secure.
Yeah.
You know, so there were...
Isn't that like an 80s... server, IBM server from the
80s and 90s, yeah. Yes. So they were using a lot of those old components, but at the same time, they were not too out there exposed cyberly.
Yeah, right.
But as the new millennium started kicking in and more technology started coming in, and
they
all,
get a website, or
right?
Yeah.
Your data is exposed. Now we have a bunch of data. Remember, before everything was on premise,
right?
Then we shifted to on cloud. Now that we're on cloud, all our data is out there.
Right.
So we need somebody to protect it. And that's where cybersecurity started ramping up and all these different components of the enterprise security offices come into play.
I don't want you to tell me the number, and you might not even know it, but I would assume if they're growing this 3 years ago and adding the cyber component, was the idea that this is a value add, that it's going to be a cost center, that it's going to be a profit center? Most security departments are a cost center, and there's no return on the investment.
Right.
So they think, but there's really soft dollar returns on the investment, right? Sometimes there could be a hard dollar return. If you stopped a breach that was going to cost you $1 million in a lawsuit, you just saved $1 million. That's a cost. That's a profit center to me, right? But this is really specific to your company, but, you know, when you start something like this, you have to throw really big dollars at it to get started? Can you just kind of start out small and say, hey, at least I got a guy sitting here watching?
Well, it does require a lot of investment.
Okay.
The company, fortunately, saw the need of it.
Yeah.
Due to the Yahoo breach and
and
all these different breaches that have happened in the past 5 years. That has led to an understanding by the board of the company to, hey, let's spend on security. We could actually be breached and we could actually lose money. And they have given us substantial monies to be
That's
able
good.
To and reinforce our the different defenses. In our case, I think we were a hybrid. We're a cost center and at the same we're also a savings department, if you want to call it.
Home savings, yeah.
The reason is because since we have the forensic and e-discovery team within the enterprise security office, we kind of offset the costs that the security, cybersecurity could incur. So cybersecurity expenses, right?
Right.
But e-discovery and forensics saves the company through the legal.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So there's an offsetting cost in there.
Yeah.
So there is not really that. I think that's the best way that they have seemed to approach it. We save it with the e-discovery portion, and they spend it with the cybersecurity tools.
No, that makes sense. What are you most worried about in the future? What do you see coming up that you're worried about?
More WannaCry's.
Everybody has said that so far. It's very interesting.
It is. It became an horrible news when it came out.
Right.
So much so that CEOs were calling each other to tell, hey, this is happening. What is your company doing?
Well, we've had so many other things that were, I think, equally as bad. Why did this somehow catch everybody's attention? It's a good, catchy name.
Right.
Maybe that's what it's marketing.
I think that the problem...
So you guys are good marketers, you hackers. If you come up with these great names like WannaCry, people are going to pay attention to you. But you know, being in IT, there's been far worse things, kind of.
Right. Yeah. But I think what the difference was in this one is that there were the executives were talking to each other.
Yeah.
In other cases, it's only IT who finds out.
No, it makes sense. Yeah. They
and start this time, executives were the ones who were talking to each other.
Interesting.
And so now you have CEOs, CFOs, they're calling in. What do we have? What are we going to lose money? Are we going to? So that started spreading around.
That's good. That happened.
And they found out almost exactly at the same time that we did.
Yeah.
So the information spread immediately. I mean, the worry spread immediately, and I think that's what scared them. I mean, I think the fact that they could actually be vulnerable make them afraid.
Yeah.
and see, hey, where do we stand? What can we do?
If one of their buddies got hit, they're all worried, right?
So that sense. I think that's what happened this time. It affected the executive branch of the company,
right,
as opposed to the IT branch, even though the IT branch is the target,
right?
But the executives were the ones who heard it first. So,
Oscar, I'm so glad you came on the show. This is fascinating.
Thank you. It's
great
that.
To get a perspective of a non-vendor and somebody that's in the field operating, doing the work, because it's just a different view of things. I see synergy between both. I see the product, guidance product, and I see a user, and I go, it all seems to be working. It's flowing. It's very nicely. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank
Anytime
you very much.
You want to call in
that.
And give me an update, let me know. We'll get
thanks.
You on. Thanks for coming on securityguidetv.com.
All right, thanks.
And we're out.
Bye.